Democracy in Action, a program on how a state functions, featuring in-depth discussions with experts on governance, politics, and decision-making. Tune in as every week we explore the complexities of governance. What is democracy? What is your role as a citizen? All these and more in Democracy in Action, Thursday at 9 a.m. with a repeat at 9 p.m. the same day. Stay informed and engage with Democracy in Action on Radio Miraya, the voice of peace.
And welcome to Democracy in Action. Today, my name is Lucy Kiden, and today our topic is about advocacy in democracies, and our major focus is going to lie on climate change. Now, first, advocacy is a broad topic. One of the dictionary definitions of advocacy terms it as a public support for or a recommendation of a particular cause or policy, a public support for or recommendation of a particular cause or policy. Now, one of my colleagues, Ruth Feeney, a political affairs officer here at UNMISS, was able to speak to me earlier to define advocacy and highlight some of its different types. Take a listen.
Good morning, Lucy, and good morning, listeners. Today, we're going to talk to you about the importance of advocacy in democracy. And advocacy can be defined as any action that speaks in favor of, recommends, or argues for a cause, supports, or defends on behalf of others. It is a powerful tool for change. It enables individuals and communities to address and rectify injustice. By advocating for a cause, individuals are able to spotlight their perspective to the wider community and act as a catalyst for change. Without advocacy, many voices would be silenced. If we didn't have advocates, we would miss out on critical support for many, many important social issues. In general, there are a few steps taken in advocacy. When a group or an individual decide that they want to advocate around a certain issue, they generally would sit down and adopt a strategy and decide on what issue they're going to advocate on. They would also then train and engage individuals on how to advocate. And this also involves how to communicate around a certain issue. And quite often, this would be backed up by research, where advocates are presenting facts that speak to the issue that they would like to address. So communication, and communication at the right time, in the right place, and to the right person. Advocates also collect and qualify generally and use data to further support the issue that they're advocating around. And most importantly, advocates respect the rule of law and they work within the rule of law. When we talk about advocacy, advocacy can come in different forms. One of the first forms of advocacy is seen very early in life. And it takes the form of the parent advocating on behalf of the child. But we also have other forms of advocacy, to include self-advocacy, individual advocacy, and systems advocacy. Systems advocacy is about changing policies, laws, or rules that impact how people live their lives. These efforts can be targeted at local, state, or national level. The focus can be changing laws or simply written or unwritten policy. What is targeted depends on the type of problem and who has the authority over the problem. One very common form of advocacy that we see in South Sudan is advocacy around the rights of the child. We also have a lot of organizations in South Sudan that work on advocacy and are very active within the social structure, pushing for these issues and trying to rectify injustices.
That there is Ruth Feeney, a political officer, a political affairs officer here at ANMIS, and she was defining advocacy and its importance and also sharing on the different types of advocacy and some of those that are being that are really coming out more in South Sudan, for example, for child rights and a number of others that we're going to break down during the discussion today. Now, my guest is a journalist. Her name is Maura Ajak. She's a journalist and a climate change advocate. Today, we're focusing on advocacy on climate change and why it's important in democracies. Maura Ajak has over 10 years' experience in journalism. She's an award-winning journalist. In 2020, she was awarded the Climate Change Award on East Africa Region by IGAD Climate Prediction Center. She's also an alumni for the Kampala Ministerial Declaration on Migration, Environment and Climate Change. And that was also recently expanded on climate change in September 2023 as Africa Climate Summit in Kenya. She's been part of those conversations and adding value in terms of environment and climate change in East Africa. Now, she has worked with numerous local and international media outlets, and currently she is a freelance journalist. Maura Ajak, you are very, very welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
Now, majorly, her advocacy is around environment, climate, justice, youth, culture and arts, as well as sports. But today, we are focusing on climate change. Now, we were just listening to Ruth Feeney. She was talking about advocacy and its different types. What more can you add to what she said?
It does play a crucial role in shaping public opinion, influencing policy decisions, and promoting social change. Some key points, for instance, like raising awareness to the public in terms of natural disasters, for instance, and also amplifying voices. People who don't know much or enough about climate, for instance, you need also to talk to them. Influencing policy, for instance, if there are some research or new data coming up and there are some gaps, for instance, in addressing some other issues, it will help in that. Encouraging also engagement, whether with the community or with the stakeholders or government and so on. Yeah.
Okay. And indeed, it's very, very important. And generally, how is advocacy conducted? You've been advocating for different things, like I mentioned earlier, for the youth, for climate change itself, which we shall deeply delve in a little, in just a little bit, for justice, culture and arts and sports and the environment. What does it take to start advocating for these? How do you even identify which areas you're interested to advocate policies and recommendations for?
As a journalist, you need to explore in different, sectors. Name it, whether it's political or environment or economic. Name it. You need to explore first, and then afterwards, you will see where you are best at, and then how you can utilize your skills, whether through writing or voicing using radio. Or, for instance, doing photos, taking photos, or shooting videos. Those are the few formats that you can use based on your capability to address some other issues on the ground, for instance. As a journalist, also, there are a lot of things that you need to do. You need to be more updated about the ongoing affairs. It's not necessarily to be in one sector, because environment, it's a big umbrella. It's now taking over everything, like, the political sector affected, you know, even like the current implementation of the peace agreement also affected. If I mention like Chapter 2 affected, A lot of things that affected under climate change, just to be straightforward, like the floods affected a lot of things, infrastructure, also distribution of the humanitarian aid. And now like the outbreak of cholera, it's a big disaster now. Those are the few things that we can talk about it, and then we can also raise awareness on it. Yeah.
All right. And so what really pushes you to go to a specific area, you as a journalist? You've spoken on a general, on what journalists need to do. They need to be aware of what's happening. But how do you identify a specific cause and then advocate for it? What motivates you?
There are some other things that as a journalist I used to do. I look for mentors, and then I need to be guided and corrected at the same time. And also you need to train yourself where you can, how far you can go, and you know, how you can slow and how you can go fast. The other thing is motivating yourself. You need also to have that passion. If the passion it's not there, you can be persistent to move on in some other activities. Yeah, there are a lot of challenges and stuff, but still there are some visions you need to pursue for, and the plan. You need to have like a map. Every 3 months you need to do evaluation for yourself, how far I'm doing in this and how far I'm doing in that, the highs and the lows, the weakness and the strength. All those, I do squeeze it sometimes in different baskets, because the weakness, it has to be upgraded, and then the strength, it's already there, but you don't need more strength on that, but you need strength in your weakness basket. So that's how usually evaluation
helps with that.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. And I want to ask about collaboration. Mm-hmm. There's a saying that no man is an island. Mm-hmm. In advocacy, who do you reach out to be able to make your claim strong? Mm-hmm. Who are the partners that you need around? Who are the people you get to connect with?
Usually, you need to also, you know, let me name it like this. You need to evaluate your network, who's worth to be here, who's worth to be there. Experts, we have so many experts, but not all of them, they do give the valuable information. Usually, the sources differ in a way of others, they can be good at analysis, others can be good at giving you comment, others can be good at giving you, you know, assistance in terms of editing your script or giving you ideas, brainstorming also, even with the youth, and then different groups, where the elderly people also, they have some background about the environment and how, for instance, South Sudan experienced the other floods. Over decades, usually you need to Google as well what's online being talked about the country. The other thing, after Googling and listening to people, also you need to reflect and you need to brainstorm afterwards. Then you can develop your pitch or developing your script, and then you need a second eye in your paper.
All right, that's very good. It's definitely important. And what about institutions? Do you come across having to deal with the government or maybe the army security
yeah.
forces? How do you navigate that?
Sure, because everywhere you go as a journalist, you need a permit, and apart from this, you need to be. Understandable in terms of knowing how the institutions run. Usually, for instance, they have press secretary or desk of information or a spokesperson, for instance. If we are talking about the army, some other areas you need permit for. If we are talking about the Minister of Environment, you need data to back up your stories or your project that you're planning to do. In terms of humanitarian sector also, we have a lot of UN agencies. If you're talking about UNEP or UNDP or FAO, those also are agencies that you can track through their data, the performance, and then also especially the figures in terms of food insecurity. It's part of the climate change. Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much, Maura. And if you've just tuned in, this is Democracy in Action. My name is Lucy Kidan. My guest today is Maura Jack, a journalist with over 10 years' experience. She is a climate change advocate, and we are talking about advocacy in democracy, and our main focus is climate change. Now, if you don't know, Maura Ajak recently did a documentary that was released last year on 11 November, and the documentary was published on BBC Eye's YouTube channel, and it's called Life at 50 Degrees, South Sudan's Poisoned Floods. If you haven't watched it, you definitely need to. Shortly after the break, I will play a very short clip from it, and then we will talk about why exactly she was interested in doing this specific documentary, the focus on floods and its impact in South Sudan, as well as the oil pollution there. So stay tuned and don't go away.
101 FM Radio Miraya, powered by the people, uniting the nation, your preferred station, the voice of peace. Radio Miraya, Radio Miraya.
انتي هنري سوكا انا كمواطن جنوبي بطلب من كل شاب الجنوب انه اقدر اقول انه الحرب ما عنده معنى الحرب بيدمر وده زمن عشان احنا نكون عندنا سلام وسلام عشان يجي لازم قلوب ناس يكون قلوب لكويس كل زول يشوف اخوه واخته الجنوبي انت ما تنظر لقبيله زول ده هو من وين انت ما تنظر انه زول ده من منطقه ياتو عشان جنوب السودان بكون فوق عداله بكون فوق سلام ازو كل ناس كده عينو نفس تمون سوا سوا قبليه كده شيلو برا كوربشن كده شيلو برا كده نكون ناس تسلام انا دير اقول لكل زول كل سياسي يسمع كلام ده كويس انه جنوب السودان خلي يكون في سلام احنا ما محتاجين تاني نشاكل كل كبير كل صغير كده انا كوتي لتنا مع بعض عشان انا بكون في سلام كده صوت تسلا وقف انا دير اسمع صوت موزيكا شكرا
جنوب السودان فجر جديد بداية جديدة دعونا نحتفل بالسلام عليكم
سلام. أنتم تستمعون إلى راديو ميرايا.
Welcome back. This is Democracy in Action. My name is Lucy Kidan, and with me today is Maura Ajak, a journalist and climate change advocate, as we talk about advocacy in democracy. The main focus today is climate change, and we'll be shortly delving into that. Now, just before the break, we were able to understand the meaning of advocacy and some of the different types and the impacts. And so advocacy can be defined as any action that speaks in favor of recommendations or argues for a cause, and it supports or defends on behalf of others. Ruth Feeney, a political affairs officer, was telling us earlier that it enables individuals and communities to address and rectify injustices. Maura was able to add that it is very, very important in development and in building peace, but also it helps identify some of the impacts of things around us like floods, and then now we have cholera coming out. It started with the floods, and now there's cholera, and these are all things that are affecting the communities. And so advocacy is very, very important in any kind of democracy. So Maura is part of a documentary. Actually, I would say the lead voice of the documentary Life at 50 Degrees by BBC Eye. And so I'm going to play a very short excerpt of this documentary, and you'll be able to hear it a little bit. and then maybe you go look for it from the BBC Eyes YouTube channel. And when you go there, you'll be able to find it on their channel, Life at 50 Degrees, and that is the documentary on climate change. Before I play a little bit of it, Maura, could you just tell me a little bit of a background? How did you come to do this this specific documentary?
I've been to Unity State several times during the floods, and then of recent I was unable to go there, but I was trying to collect data apart from the photos that I have and videos of the floods, and then, you know, the water dikes collapsing, and you know, the livestock also, and the forest. Mostly the environment, it's going towards zero. Let me say that when I was there during the floods time, then it happened that I was trying to go there, but I was still thinking about the institution or the entity that will publish my content, and then it happened that also BBC accepted.
So did you have to, like, pitch
this
story to them?
Yeah. So there is a producer for the film, and we agreed to do a joint work whereby she will help me also to back up more data, and then we complete the whole...
Compile it all together.
And afterwards, it took us also still more time than
when
it was
did the
expected.
Work start?
A year before.
Oh, why?
It was
before.
Just a communication.
So this was 2023.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And we were just chatting and how to go with it. And again, you know, BBC, it's a big entity. Also, you have to pass to the editors again. It's pushed back, and they will say still it's not complete. You have to do this. This one is missing. How are you going to go with this and that? So we had a lot of cues, and we have to find a lot of A's, answers. And, finally they accepted the story proposal. And, it was a big story in terms of, like, covering floods itself. It wasn't easy because the humanitarian side of it, it has issues, and then infrastructure, and also the people, how will you... startup. So I have to do survey. I have to go again and collect data. I have to visit again. I went to Unity State last year twice. First one for doing survey, and the second one for shooting the film. When I did the survey, things was already the other way around. It was different than I was expecting. And you know, the water level, it was subsiding by that time, and people were hopeful. When I went there again for shooting the film, it was different.
It had gotten worse again.
Yes, the rain started, and people were optimistic that all the water level, it's subsiding and things will get better. And others, they were relying on God. Others, they didn't believe about this early warning being released by ICPAC last year. So it wasn't that easy in terms of having different sources, and you have to squeeze all the data in one page or in few pages. It was challenging, let me say that, because of language barrier. I had a good translator also, but we need also to cope up because of the heat. Like few days it was dry, and the other days it was wet. And sometimes we are told the road is blocked because of the rain.
Mm-hmm.
And people were really still on the move, migrating. Sometimes you find the road busy with the big trucks.
Yeah.
Sometimes you find the road busy with cattle. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you find the road busy with people taking, transporting the charcoal. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of like you find yourself a bit confused, and then again you have to put yourself together, because people themselves, they didn't look healthy at the same time. And psychologically, it's not easy to talk with someone who's hungry.
Yeah.
Also, the other side of it, how you can socialize, how you can approach. Because
you're meeting them for the first time.
Yes. And the survey was okay because it had helped me to build up that
communication.
Yes, the trust. And by the time I showed up for the second time, they were saying, we thought that you will never come back. You will be like the other NGOs who usually used to come and do their survey and just disappear.
Just disappear.
So at least they understood that I'm a media personnel, and then I'm there just to do the advocacy part, you know, and then to film and then to know the reality and then to be there in their shoes.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Maura. And now we are going to listen to a little bit of a clip from that documentary. So let's take a listen.
To find out more about the impact of the oil pollution on communities, I'm on my way to Roriak, a settlement 20 kilometers north of Bentiu and right in the heart of the oil fields. Chief Chilhok Pot leads a community of herders. They were displaced by fighting, and so the government assigned them this area to live and graze their cattle. They tell me they fear pollution from the nearby wells is making their cattle sick. Wow. Over 117,000 cows have died in Unity State in the last 2 years, according to the state's Minister of Agriculture, who blames it on flooding and oil pollution. He called on central government to investigate.
There you go. That is just a short clip of about 50 minutes of a documentary that Maura and her colleagues were able to come up with, and it was published on the BBC Africa Eyes YouTube channel. And so you can go and watch the whole thing there. It's very visual. There are very details in there. Maura, I watched the documentary, and it was very moving for me. And I've never been to Unity State, and I was able to see what I've been hearing, especially being a journalist here and also reporting on the floods, hearing about the floods, talking about it. But I just want to hear from you, being on the ground, seeing all these things, what comes to your mind in terms of the plight of the people there, and how does it ignite the advocate in you?
It was sad and worth, at the same time, worth it to do the journey. Seeing the people in that situation, and then, you know, seeing is believing, usually what people usually say. You can hear from their voices also the frustration. And those are cattle herders who try to migrate and come back again to their ancestral lands. So for the people, they were able to talk after the survey, as I've mentioned earlier. They have understood that they need also to air their voices. because they had a series of issue of migration due to floods and also conflict. And currently, for the cattle herders, it's hard because they have to look after thousands of cattle.
Okay.
And it's challenging because mm-hmm. most of them, most of the cattle usually is to go nearby the oil wells, and it's quite dangerous. And as they have mentioned, they try to seek also help and so on, but it's in denial. They are pushed back. The other side of it also, I met, you know, charcoal makers.
Yes.
They were saying that they also migrate from place to another. Sometimes they're chased away on that side by few companies. And they keep on migrating like that. For them, they cut trees 24 in the morning, 24 in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried also to ask why. They said this is the only way of survival. And most of them, they came from, you know, they migrated from the flooded side, lower ground, and northern part, it's a higher ground. So you will find so many displaced persons, but unfortunately, they are living next to the oil wells. And it's confusing and hard to understand, and also challenging also how to approach and ask.
Okay.
Is there no anywhere to go? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It must have been quite an experience interacting with them and being there to see everything. And so after the documentary, have you seen any impact of it? Has there been any response? What were your expectations?
The response in form of comments, you know, phone calls. A few people called me appreciating the documentary, airing out the voices and reflecting the reality. The impact is a few calling me from Unity itself also, saying that they're happy, that their reality already, it's outside there. What I'm hoping for, a change, you know, at least if those people will find a better place, because that environment, it's no longer healthy. If we can do something, it's not only relying on the government, but it's all of us, you know, advocating in a simple format, finding a better higher ground somewhere and telling them even through the radio stations, they should migrate to so-and-so area. It's better until we find a common solution for such a catastrophic situation. Yeah.
All right. I want to talk about the cost that you put in. Of course, there is time, the effort, your skill and experience. But financially, how was it when it comes to advocating for something as big as that? You had to travel twice or three times. Mm-hmm. Doing surveys and meeting people. What are some of the financial burdens that come with being an advocate or carrying out advocacy programs?
We are lucky. Me and my producer, we tried our best. She tried also to invest her best, you know, within the script. Until BBC Africa, I approved the budget because it wasn't easy to do the trip twice. The most hard thing, apart from all issue of the finance, you know, there itself, you have to buy water, you know. Water there, it's like doubling the price in Juba. I've realized that I'm spending more money on drinking water.
And there's water all everywhere,
yes.
The flood
yes.
water. But it's not.
And the heat, it was something else also. We had to work under 45 degrees. And the filmmaker was like, is it real? It's 45 or it's just us? Maybe the thermometer, it wasn't reading well. So financial side of it, it was a heavy budget. But still, I can push that also to some you know, NGOs, because they have also some flights, they can give a chance to some journalists to have a seat and then to have accommodation and then to do such a content or such a film. It's not easy to do it, but through teamwork, it can be possible because it's not a one-man show. And as I've told you, there are a lot of data, but you need to do a teamwork to collect here and there to balance it as well and not to be biased within the content. Yeah.
Yeah. And now that you've done this specific documentary, you focused on climate change. Climate change itself in South Sudan, here you're saying the degrees are at 45 and at the same time there's water all over the place, but it's not drinkable, it's not consumable. Mm-hmm. And then it just shifts and it's raining again. Mm-hmm. For a democracy state like South Sudan, or that's what we hope to have starting mm-hmm. next year, why is it important to advocate? How can you encourage the listeners who can be an advocate in the society, and which areas, how do you identify which area is good for you as you speak to the people?
Everyone can advocate in where they are best at. The other thing is climate education, we don't have it that much, honestly. And this content, I will take it as climate education content. And also talking about climate justice and making people also explore to understand further about climate and the aspects of climate and how to talk about it and how to understand also how climate is started, and especially the floods. Who knew it floods will expose mismanagement of the oil wells. Advocacy can start naturally sometimes. You'll find yourself just talking about this and that. You'll feel more interested to talk about it, but you'll never know it's advocacy until someone else will tell you, you're good to do 1, 2, 3, 4. So you need to be guided. We don't have to shy away from asking and saying, help me, I need to do this and that. So you knock and then, you ask and then you'll get answers. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for that. And so we've been on a somber mood. I just want to now find out, did you have any highlights from your trip to during the documentary production? Any specific highlights maybe you could share with us? Some experience that stuck with you?
The people and the way they welcomed me, the hospitality, and they were very humble, let me say that. And the humanity side of it, you will feel it without even them saying it. And also the chief, because when we were there, he kept on telling me we shouldn't stay there for longer time. I didn't know why. And after we left from that site, because it was bordering Rueng administrative area, and he told me there might be fighting. So we need to clear this place and we need to get out from here. And, the cattle herders were moving with the cows. And I told him, what about the cameraman? And he was like, he's a man. He can run. But for you or my daughter, we have just to leave.
Yeah.
So we left. And indeed, evening hours towards the next day, conflict erupted there.
Oh, dear.
And he called me, my daughter. Now you have heard the news? And I was like, yes, chief. Thank you. So, yes, those are some scenarios. It's really stuck in my head. And I believe that if they will get a chance for the climate advocacy or education, they will do much better than we're doing now. Yeah.
All right. Thank you for that. And so finally, what message do you have to share with the public in terms of advocacy, but also what you'd like to see change given the advocacy work that you have done?
I want to see green South Sudan. everyone planting trees, normalizing planting trees. Let's bring the country back where it was green and nice, you know. And what I want to see also, our journalists to normalize also reporting on climate change and other things regarding climate. Also the people, let them be open also with the media, whether I have, you know, a microphone or a camera or whatever it is. You have a right to ask me about my tool, and then I will answer you back. And then if it's about the climate, feel free to talk about climate. Mm-hmm. How do you think about climate affecting you as a person, even if you are within Juba or outside of Juba or around Juba or in other states? Yeah.
All right. I'm going to request you to also give your message in Arabic.
أنا بتمنى إنه الناس كلهم يزرعوا شجرة من نبتة يكون شجرة نزرع في جوبا وفي الولايات وفي ضواحي جوبا ويا ريت نشوف ساوث سودان أخضر وكمان ويا ريت كل صحفي أو صحفية يشتغل في تقارير بتاعة التغيير المناخي ويا ريت كل زول أو زولة لما تشوف صحفي أو صحفية شايل أو شايلة مايكروفون أو كاميرا أو الجهاز بتاعت التسجيل أسأل ممكن تسأل تقول ده شنو ويوريك ومنه اتكلم عادي عن التغيير المناخي سخانة مثلا المطر الزراعة كيف أو الأشجار هل بقى في زي زمان ولا لا فما نخاف نتكلم مع صحفيين فخلونا نكون more open وشكرا
Carlos, shukran ya. Maura, thank you so much for joining me today as we were talking about advocacy with a focus on climate change. Thank you very much for your work and thank you for coming today.
Thank you.
Well, that brings us to the end of Democracy in Action today. My name is Lucy Kidendu. Stay tuned to Radio Mirai for more programming. Bye-bye.